there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. It is my pleasure to present to you a new episode of The Next Step with Father Vazgen. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're tuning in. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. The Next Step is the voice of Armodoxy, a weekly podcast that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. Our seventh season is well underway, inspired by our spiritual pilgrimage to both sides of Mount Ararat. Father Vazgen's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on Christ's principles of love, faith, and hope. At epostle.net, we reach out to those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. We produce these shows free of charge and make them available for download at epostle.net, as well as via multiple podcatchers, including Apple iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, and our very own epostle app. You can also subscribe to receive email notifications every time a new episode is released. However you choose to tune in, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazgen, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 352, a podcast that puts it all together, that connects the dots between the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual, between the contemporary and the ancient. In fact, we look at life through the lens of the most ancient of all Christian traditions, Armenian Orthodoxy. Polished up for today, this Armodox look is yours for the taking. So if you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step. Really good to have you with us today, and we have a great show for you. Because, oh man, not yet. I know, Ken is very excited. He is excited that we've got something special. I promised you last week we'd talk a little bit about Superman. And I've been thinking a lot about Superman and that whole idea of the superhuman man. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. How's your week been? It has been incredibly busy over here at In His Shoes. We're getting ready for the 100-year journey installation. And just about every single day, not just about, every single day, we've been involved in working out so many details. In fact, it is overwhelming. And that's what brought us really to this podcast about Superman. Do you ever get the feeling of just being overwhelmed with just too much to do? There are people just on all sides of you, and it's not just family obligation, it's not just work obligations, business obligations, it's not just school, it's not just parent, it's just overwhelming because it's coming from all different sides, and you say, wait a minute, I need to slow down. The stress level is incredible, and you know it, and I know it. Isn't stress like the ultimate punisher of all humankind? It's like the payback for messing up everything, right? It's like, okay, we're giving you stress now. Okay, you wanted this complicated life. You wanted it all complicated and putting everything together. And you know, who do we have to blame for our stress but ourselves? At some point, you have to just say no. I have an interesting thing that is sitting on my desk. I look at it every day. I don't pay attention to it too much. I should, right? This was a doctor back in, I'd say the 1990s when I saw him. He was a doctor that I saw because I was going through some really stressful times. And he gave me a prescription. Yeah, you know, the old-time prescriptions. Not the one they phone in. Not the one that they tweet in or whatever means by which they get it to the pharmacy these days. Because I haven't seen one of these pharmacy pads in years. My dad used to have it. My dad was a pharmacist, so we'd have a bunch of, like, doctor pads at the house that we'd use as scratch paper. These prescription pads. But anyway, I have this one of these old-fashioned prescriptions that a doctor gave to me about, I'd say, good, it was probably about 15 to 20 years ago. And it has the big RX, the prescription symbol on it, you know, on the left side. It has his doctor's credentials up on top. And then the prescription right in the center of the pad. It says, no. It's a two-letter prescription. No. And he told me, I have to say no to people. Say no. That's the prescription. And he says, you're going through some stressful times. He says, it's time that you say no to people. Oh, can you take that prescription? I don't know if we can. And that's what leads us to today's podcast about being a Superman. Taking care of things. That's what I wanted to share with you today. Are you ready for that? Should we do it? I was going to wait for the second portion. But actually, I look at my notes for this week, and I have just got like an incredible list of things that I wanted to share with you, talk to you about, things that we went through this week. And I realized that it's all part of that same formula of no. So why don't we start it, okay? Let's start this session of the Superman show, okay?
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look. Up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
Yes, look up in the sky. Who is it? It is a strange visitor from another planet. Yes, he came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. I love this beginning. This happens to be the beginning of the 1950s series, The Adventures of Superman, one of those stories that I grew up with. And there are many stories that people grow up with, many myths that people grow up with. And these myths help us form, well, how we interpret the world, how we interact with the world. I know Joseph Campbell talks a lot about myth. He's studied myth, the whole idea of myth. In fact, his book Genesis, wow, it's all about the myth that's out there. And by myth, we're not talking about, you know, we're not putting value judgment on any story. We're not saying that this is real or is not real. But myth as this idea of presenting a story by which we learn, by which we grow, by which we define ourselves and the world around us. And certainly when we think about it in this context, we understand Christianity also provides this beautiful story, a complete story. In my understanding, it is just like a complete story of Christ coming to this world, interacting with this world, a reconciliation process. And in that reconciliation, we find ourselves in the presence of God. In the Armenian Church, Armenian Orthodoxy, we have this beautiful statement. It says, Astvaz martatsa vor mart astvazana. In other words, in this story, we're understanding how God became man so that man can become God. In other words, understand the or be at one with his maker, be at one, at peace with the universe. And certainly this story that comes to us from Holy Scriptures, the story that comes to us from Holy Traditions, the story that comes to us, the Christ story, is one of interaction between the heavenly and the worldly. Now, this is not new. Of course, you know, Greek mythology is all about the gods playing with us, right? The gods interacting with humankind. In fact, sometimes when we think about the Christ child coming to earth of his father, God in heaven, and Mary, his mother, well, you know, there's been many comparisons to the Greek myth of Hercules, right? Whose father was Zeus, the Roman equivalent of Jupiter, and the mortal Alcmene. You remember the story. If you don't, it's in part of Greek mythology. So, you know, this idea of the gods coming and partnering with humankind is nothing new. What is new for Christianity is this conquering through this basic power of love. That's why when I talk about Armodoxy, I feel like we have a revelation. And if you've been following the development of Armodoxy, you understand that, you know, there is something very unique and they're very special, and it's in that love formula. It's not about these lights in the skies, about different stars in appearing to shepherds and fields. Those are very important parts of the story because they signal something different, but the message and the mandate for love, of loving your enemies, of loving your neighbors, of sharing with one another, of sacrifice, is a huge one. It's a huge one out there. And it's not about a life to come. It's about the kingdom being enacted right now. So there are many, many stories, and certainly I'm picking on Superman because it's one that I grew up with, and I played for you this this little beginning from the 50s piece. Of course, Superman in itself, it was created by a couple of artists, comic book. It's a beautiful story if you follow along and you check out the history of Superman. It was in the late 1930s, you know, the world was at war, on the brink of World War II, and all kinds of things going on, and here comes this man who's coming to save the day, coming to save the planet. And he's strong, he's courageous, he's able to bend steel with his bare hands, and he could leap over tall buildings in a single bound. In fact, that's one thing that I learned later on. When they first started off the Superman, he wasn't supposed to be flying. He was supposed to be leaping over tall buildings in that single bound, which means an incredible amount of force placed on Earth. I think if you were to leave, the amount of force you'd need to push yourself off of the ground would probably cause massive earthquakes. But anyway, those are the kind of details that sick people think about later on. People are thinking about the hero who's coming to save the day, to save the planet. And certainly this savior has come in the form of Superman. Throughout the 1930s, 40s, 50s, in comic book form, he made an appearance in the TVs, late 40s, 50s, and then had many metamorphoses in cartoon form. They came out with this incredible movie back in 1978, Superman the Movie with Christopher Reeves, and then it had many different generations of it, even in the last several years. We see the Man of Steel, I think it was just a couple years ago that came out, and certainly Superman is this incredible myth that keeps on living and living and living, because it talks about something very special. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. That idea of salvation. And I'm not talking about the soul and everything. You know what? I'm not even going to apologize. If you're at that point here, Next Step listeners, I'm sorry. This is not for first-time Next Step listeners. Okay, we're not at that point. Okay, we're not comparing Superman with God or a comic book with God. Don't get into that, okay? And if you start sending me your emails, I won't even read them, okay? I hope that at this point, Next Step listeners, you know, we're beyond that, okay? So, this Superman character comes to us, and like I said, there's many, many stories like this. And certainly in the comic book genre, there's not only the DC and the Marvel rivalries, but we have rivalries of the comic book heroes themselves who engage in battle, sometimes have to come up on top. They came out with this idea of the Justice League, which used to be the Justice League of America, because the values, if you heard what we said, the beginning of the Superman beginning, it says, for truth, justice, and what? The American way. Well, that beginning came out in the 1950s, when here in America, there were the McCarthy trials, you know, there was the idea that some people might be communist, subversive. J. Edgar Hoover was coming. I mean, this is a wild time of life. People inspecting, and you're looking for a savior. You're looking for somebody who's going to rise above it. rise above it and teach us the moral absolutes that we're craving. Now think about this also. A few years ago, well, now 20, 30 years ago, there was a movie that came out called E.T., The Extraterrestrial. And everybody and his mother started making the comparison with Christ. Okay, here's somebody who comes from another planet, who's come here to save. I am always with you. I am right here. You know, remember all that? There's a lot of commotion about that. And there are prototypes for these myths. Okay? People coming from outside. People coming from the union of God and man, you know? And there's so many prototypes. And what happens all of a sudden is we start equating all of these. And we have a hard time. And this is where I want to kind of take off, because a lot of times what happens is we get consumed by these stories and the fact that they are stories, that they are myths, and start equating them, and we lose sight of what the purpose is. This is why I said a few minutes ago, there is a revelation that we proclaim in Armadoxy, and that revelation is the revelation of love, which is God revealing himself. When we say God revealed himself, what does that mean? Okay, Jesus Christ came, right? And Jesus Christ is the incarnation of love. Quite different from superheroes who went around beating up people. He beat up people in a different way. Yeah, you could say that, right? He conquered. He conquered death. Why? Because he was able to rise to the occasion with his power of love, not the might in his muscles, but the might in his heart, in his soul. And so, you know, I started thinking about these comparisons that we make. And a couple weeks ago, I got an interesting email from somebody who was saying, you know, kind of beating himself up, that it's just really difficult. We're under incredible stress, too much stress these days. And that's when I started thinking about this idea of Superman. Is it possible that we too put ourselves in the shoes of Superman and somehow feel like we have to take care of people? We have to answer people with a yes rather than the prescription of no. Do we create our own stress levels, our own hells here in this world because we want to do the Superman thing? Okay, think about this for a moment. I'm going to play the song of the day. I'm going to come back in a few minutes. This is a Superman tribute, one of my favorites from Five for Fighting. You know what I'm going to play.
I can't stand to fly. I'm not that naive. I'm just out to find the better part of me. I'm more than a bird, I'm more than a plane, I'm more than some pretty face beside a train. And it's not easy to be me. I wish that I could cry, fall upon my knees, find a way to lie about a home I'll never see. It may sound absurd, but don't be naive. Even heroes have the right to bleed. I may be disturbed, but won't you concede? I can't stand to fly. I'm not that naive. Men want men to ride with clouds between their knees. I'm only a man, no silly red sheet, digging for kryptonite on this one-way street. Only a man, no phony red sheet, looking for special things inside of me, inside of me.
Five for Fighting, a song called Superman. One of my favorites. I love that. Just love the way it sounds. Love the meaning, the words, everything about it. Yeah, don't read too much into it. It is beautiful. Actually, that's from another generation or another evolution of the Superman story. That was from, I remember the first time I heard that was from Smallville. That came out in the year 2001. And lasted for all of 10 seasons. And I remember running home and watching that with my kids. Just beautiful, beautiful story. It was like, what happened before Superman? You know, how did Clark Kent grow up? And Clark Kent, of course, is the alter ego of Superman. That's what I want to talk about today, because as important as the Superman story is, there is a story behind Superman, which is the alter ego, which is Clark Kent. One and the same. Okay, am I using some words that are clicking in your head right now? That's what I want to do. I want to start clicking all kinds of things going on in our heads right now, right? One and the same. Clark Kent, Superman, is he the same guy? Yeah, absolutely. He'd put on those glasses and somehow Lois Lane could never figure out that it was him, you know? But those glasses, what a big barrier they were, right, for people. Maybe it's because people, think about this, maybe it's because people wanted to believe in a Superman. They didn't want to believe that he was human. Right? I mean, think about it. Other superheroes, you had Bruce Wayne becoming Batman. He had a full mask that would cover up everything, I think, except his mouth. But his eyes, his forehead, his hair. But in the case of Superman and Clark Kent, it was just the glasses. They prevented people from seeing Superman. They looked at Clark Kent. They saw his glasses. They believed he was a man. They did not want to believe that he was Superman. And vice versa. They looked at Superman and didn't want to believe that just by putting a pair of glasses on, this superhero can become a mortal man. Expectations, right? Expectations that we have. Let's talk a little bit about that. Well, let's begin with the expectations that we have of the superhero. Let's talk about the expectations we have of God, right? What are our expectations? Well, we expect this idea of omnipotence. That means complete total power, superpower. We expect that power to be used for the good, correct? I mean, how horrible it would be, like if that power wasn't used for the good. And certainly we see evil people that have those powers. In the Superman story, of course, you had anyone who's coming from the planet Krypton has those same powers here on Earth. Well, think about if those powers are used for evil. And you had your super villains. Now, in the case of God, you have this extra dimension that we know that God is good. God is love. So why isn't he using those superpowers to exploit the goodness all around us? In other words, why doesn't he give us this panacea? Why doesn't he give us this world in which evil doesn't exist? Why doesn't he just go out and take care of evil once and for all? Be done with it, right? Well, this is where we get into the superpower stuff, right? Is God the Superman that we want him to be? A lot of times we think of it in those terms, right? We think of the Superman in God. In other words, his ability to come and just in the middle of our troubles, whether it's some illness that we have, whether it's a relationship issue, whether it's a financial issue, we have paid our dues. We've prayed. We've gone to church. We've done all the good things. Now it's your time, God, to come and fix things up. And that's an expectation we have from a good God. You expect that goodness to be manifested in the good powers that he has, you know, his use of those good powers. And unfortunately, we see that it doesn't work like that. So something has to change at that point, right? Maybe our expectation is wrong or falsely rooted in this idea of superhuman strength. Certainly in the case of Superman, we expect him to come and if there's a school bus running off the bridge, we expect him to come and fly and swoop up that school bus and put it back on the bridge. Well, sure, of course we do. And so too in our lives too, we expect if we have it within our power to do the good. We have that expectation of all people. And sometimes in the life of a priest or say a doctor or somebody who's in the healing arts, when the expectation is high and they don't live up to that expectation, what happens? There's a lot of guilt. A lot of difficulty comes with that. A lot of stress is placed upon him because, after all, he is not Superman. He is not the ultimate healer. And doctors go through that, and I can vouch for it. I know priests go through that too. And I know that there's many people. And I'm sure in any field, the mechanic, right? You've taken your car to the mechanic and you expect, well, you're the expert on this. Fix it up. And then you go down the road and something else breaks. And, well, who are you going to take it out on? You take it out on that poor mechanic who now has to live up to the expectation that you have. Well, you know, you have an expectation. You've paid him. You've paid your dues. You want him to fix up your car so that it doesn't have problems. Same thing. We want Superman to take care of those problems. We want God to ultimately use his incredible power for the cause of good. And this puts a lot of pressure on a lot of people who are in those professions, that have expectation with them. Certainly, I know many doctors, many that have talked to me over the years and the stress level that they're under because, you know, there is an expectation. You have this beautiful heart. I mean, I would imagine most doctors who have gotten into the healing profession do it because they're there because of some kind of empathy that they've had for the suffering. And you want to do it, and you realize that it's beyond your power, beyond your ability to make things whole. It is. It's beyond your ability. And so living up to those expectations brings about all kinds of stress in our lives. And those expectations are not on those high scales even. It's in our relationships, right? Kids expect certain things from their parents. Spouses expect certain things from their spouse, from their lovers, from their acquaintances. We have expectation from our parents, from our children. We expect our children to do what the course that we've set for them. And when they fall short of those expectations, what are we doing? We're putting extra stress on people because of what? Because of our expectations. And that stress is a tough one. It's a tough one to handle. Now, vulnerabilities. Let's talk a little bit about vulnerabilities. It's interesting because in the superhuman or the Superman, the superhero characters that we look at, they all have one or perhaps a few vulnerabilities. You could look at someone like a Batman. Batman is basically a human. Now, his strength comes that, you know, his body is, his flesh is just made up of scar tissue from years of gunshots, stab wounds, and burns. During the line of duty, he sustained all these. And so now his body is kind of a rougher than the average person. And so he has some degree of, you know, of strength just, or let's say the shield is on him by virtue of his body being so filled with scars, okay? But still, he is a human. So that's the ultimate vulnerability. Okay, remember that. Ultimate vulnerability is being human. Now, of course, in the Superman story, Kryptonite, a piece from his own planet, it can destroy him. It can even kill him. It's a green meteor that has come. It's a piece of the planet Krypton. And if he's close to it, it could take away his powers and it can take away his life. Other than that, he's a pretty powerful guy. I don't know, Wonder Woman, remember her? Yeah, she's this amazing Amazonian strength, okay? And she has two incredible magic powers. One is her magic lasso, which forces captives to tell the truth. And then there's her bracelets, which repel bullets, okay? She holds up those bracelets and it repels bullets, gets them away, okay? So she's invincible when those bracelets are held up in the right position. But those weapons also work against her because she can be bound by her own lasso and she could be robbed of her strength if those bracelets happen to be linked by a chain. So there's a formula for this. Every superhero has some kind of vulnerability. Why? Because it lends itself to the story. Okay? It lends itself to the story. There is a vulnerability. So when we see the evil in the world, we see the evil things that Superman or Wonder Woman or Batman couldn't stop, we say that, oh, well, that person is not complete. In other words, there was some vulnerability. So when the bad guy's out there, the bad guy can take a piece of kryptonite. The bad guy can chain Wonder Woman's hands. The bad guy can find Batman, the vulnerable spot, and hit him with a bullet. You know, there's all kinds of vulnerable points in these superhero myths, and so too in our lives. Right, we have our vulnerabilities. What is your vulnerability? What is my vulnerability? Well, we have our emotions. Right, our emotions get in our way. We have our ego. Ego is an incredible vulnerability because if we let our ego get in front of us, that prevents us from doing some of those superhuman things that we are expected to do or that we can do in a larger setting, right? So we all have vulnerabilities. Now, I want to push it. Does God have a vulnerability? What's the vulnerability of God? How can God fail? That's an important question. Am I doing too much with this? Am I pushing it too much? You're going to say, well, God is not a superhero. No, but we're talking about these stories, these myth stories, right? And we're trying to understand our understanding and why we a lot of times get turned down, or we feel slighted, or we feel like we haven't made it. We feel like we haven't received the answers to the prayers that we not only ask, but we so deserve. Well, that deserve word means that we have an expectation. And what is God's vulnerability? Well, it's in the human condition. God's vulnerability comes about by us. By our expectations, God's vulnerability is shown. God's vulnerability is shown by what? Our rejection. No. Follow me on this, okay? I don't know where. I hope you guys are following me, because I'm sitting over here and Ken's thumbing me up, so I think we're okay right now. But think about what we expect from God, right? We expect God to be the Superman. We expect God to come down and take care of things immediately at our time. And what is God's vulnerability? When does God fail? When we fail, right? And this is what is meant by the God being within us. Remember Christ, when he came, he started talking about the kingdom of heaven. And mistakenly, many times people think the kingdom of heaven is about something that is to come, about a time to come. Actually, the kingdom of heaven very clearly is something that was enacted with Christ's presence here in this world. When Christ came, the kingdom of heaven had been fulfilled. Remember the story of Simeon, who was in the temple at that point, when Mary and Joseph bring the child to the temple for the purification rite. Simeon takes the child Jesus in his hands and thanks God. He says, because you have promised that I would not see death until I saw the Savior of the world. In other words, the enacting of the kingdom of God here in this world. He takes the Christ child. Yes, Christ coming into this world enacted the kingdom of God. It is happening right now, and we have that ability to interact. A lot of times we lose sight of this because we focus in on a time to come rather than realizing that the world right now is in our hands. That we have this incredible opportunity vested in us by our Creator to be able to love. And that, in fact, is the ultimate weapon that He has given us. You talk about the strength of the superheroes. They are no match for the power of love, because all of them melt at the sight of love, at the sign of and the opportunity for them to share and engage in those personal relationships. And so too, we too, our vulnerability as human beings, yes, we have our ego, we have our expectations which prevent us, but our ability to love, that's a major vulnerability. Why? Because in those expectations, well, like Dr. King says, he says, there can be no deep disappointment where there is not deep love. And if you have deep love, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to hurt. It is going to hurt. Now, I was asking you, what's the vulnerability of God? It's that same thing. Because if you believe that God is love, is pure love, well, that's the ultimate love. And guess what? His vulnerability is in the disappointment. It's in that ultimate disappointment of our rejecting of that love. You love something so much, and when that object of your love refuses you, how hurt are you? How hurt are you? And imagine how hurt God is when we reject that love. And you say, well, who's going to reject God's love? Well, we all do. We all do. We've been given certain things and we reject. We go other ways. Certainly this time of Lent that we're in right now is a time of introspection, of looking at our lives and figuring out what are those things that God has given us and where are we in our life right now? How are we interpreting all those things? So I want to leave you with that idea. Think about God's vulnerability is our rejection. I mean, just something to think about right now. Okay, I'm just trying to get some stimulation of our headspace right now. It's not to share answers, but to really get us to start engaging during this Lenten period. You know, we're going through this 40-day period of Lent where there's introspection. Let's think about some of the big questions. What is our relationship with God? Isn't that the ultimate question that we have to ask ourselves? How do we fit in to this whole thing that we call life? Okay? And it brings us to the last thing that I've been thinking about, and that's the alter ego. The point of stress, that human side of it, the human side of the superhero, okay? Who is that human side? Well, certainly in the God story, we know that Jesus Christ gave us an opportunity to see something very beautiful, to see that it is a possibility for us to live out the God life, right? Jesus Christ came in human form. It was God in human form. And that's the power of that story, that there is an opportunity for that perfection, right? Jesus says, set your mind on God's kingdom and all else will come about. What does that mean? Is it just to think about some time to come? No, he's talking about right now. Set your mind on that kingdom. Place your heart there, put your soul there, and in that kingdom, you're going to understand that you are a participant in that kingdom. And so that humanity of Christ is equally as important as the divinity of Christ. Now, in the superhero stories, let's think about it. There is this, there's the point of vulnerability, which is expressed through these alter ego characters and whoever they may be. In the Superman, of course, it's Clark Kent. Batman was Bruce Wayne. Let's see, Incredible Hulk, Bruce Banner. Everybody had an alter ego. I think this is part of the stories, right? There is no superhero that just kind of just stays there. It's just a superhero, right? Unless I missed somebody. That's Mighty Mouse. I believe Mighty Mouse. I'm not sure. I'm trying to think. Was he ever a mouse without the Mighty on there? But most superheroes have this alter ego. Yeah, okay, let me not be completely inclusive. We'll say most superheroes, okay, have this alter ego that is completely, totally vulnerable. How important is that alter ego? Let's think about that for a moment, okay? They tell us in the stories that that alter ego is necessary to prevent this man from being on 24/7, right? If everybody knew that he was Superman, right, when would he sleep? And you never see stories of Clark Kent or anybody sleeping, but I guess that's part of the equation too. And that's what I said earlier. That's what I loved about the Smallville story. It was the story of Clark Kent before his powers, before he realized his powers, before he actualized and exploited those powers. In other words, the development of Clark Kent. Now, that Clark Kent character is very important. Why? Because it points to the humanness of the Superman character. Now, remember a few minutes ago I said it's interesting because of the expectations people have. They don't see beyond the glasses. They don't want to believe that there is a Superman behind the glasses. We too, you know, we look, we want to believe the myths that we have in our head. We want to believe that God is this way or that way. We don't want to do away with those stereotypes that we have. Clark Kent, you wear glasses, you can't be Superman. And that's enough for me. I mean, I don't see that it's the same face back there. I'm just not going to accept it. And those alter egos are very important because it gives the character himself an opportunity to escape from the expectations that people have. And getting back to our original point, you say, Father Voskin, when were you going to get back to that, right? Getting back to our original point about stress, it's finding that alter ego within ourselves. And this is what I want to share with you as a parting shot, okay? Think about the Clark Kent character. Who was he? He was a reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, namely the Daily Planet. He was probably the fastest typer there ever was. Right? I mean, when you see his fingers, I believe in Superman the movie, the Perry White character made that point. At the fastest typer. I imagine if he sat there at a typewriter at super speed, he could just crank out stuff. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I should explain what a typewriter is. Before there was computers and word processors and texting on smartphones, there was such a thing called a typewriter. And before this electric ball, there was typewriters that had keys that would stick if you got too quick on those keys. And this is just a parenthetical little note. That's why the QWERTY keyboard has its layout. You wonder why is the Q next to the W, next to the E, next to the R, next to the T, next to the Y on your keyboard? It's because in the olden times, those sequences weren't used quickly. Okay, you would never write out a word called QWERTY, K-W-E-R-T-Y. So they were placed next to each other so that the keys would not jam if you were typing very fast. Now, Clark Kent, he was a reporter, and as a reporter, he was close to the action. That's why he was a reporter. But here's the interesting thing. He wrote the story. He was the one who wrote the story, one key at a time. And I think there's a message there, too. When we look at the superheroes, let's also look at the human side of these characters. And in those characters, we find that there is an opportunity for us to rise to the occasion, because Superman, as Clark Kent, always finished the stories. He would type one key at a time, and the story would get done. When we look at the entire God story, when we look at Christ coming down in human form as Christ, what is the message that he brings with him? It's this opportunity that we, in our frailties, in our difficulties, with all of our problems, with all of our limitations, can rise to do those superhuman works when we place God inside of us. And what is that God? Placing that love inside of us. And you think about it for a moment, that's all it takes, really, right? Because What's the purpose? What's the goal? It's completing the story. It's typing. It's getting that story across. Getting your life done in a beautiful fashion. And the story gets done, life gets done, not by the Superman, but by the alter ego, by the human people. Okay, us humans, we get that story done. When you're talking about stress, a lot of times we think of ourselves as the superheroes, when actually the superheroes come about because of those human people behind them. And this is true of moms, right? Who take on mothering and take it on seriously and find that they fall short. They say, how can I do it? How can I give to my children what is so necessary? Because they think of themselves in the Superman myth, rather than think of themselves as that human person who sits there and actually types it out, one step at a time. Each of us comes to understand ourselves in that Superman story as somebody who wants to and can change the course of mighty rivers, when really the course of mighty rivers are changed by us doing what we do so beautifully. In other words, loving, sharing, caring. And here is the Superman in each of us. Here is that super person in each of us. Go beyond the genders. Go beyond your expectations. Go beyond what you've learned. Understand that each of us comes to the table with unique powers that we are to share. We are all creations from God. We have all come to this world with a unique set of standards and talents, unlike anybody else, unique as our fingerprint. Because no one knows you the way you know yourself. You have that opportunity to really process all of this information. You have that opportunity to take that goodness that's inside of you. And yeah, there's many challenges. There's many vulnerabilities that we have. Okay, sure, Superman only had kryptonite, and we have a whole bunch of them. We have our relationships with parents, with our children, with our spouses. We have vulnerabilities because of health issues. We have vulnerabilities because of financial issues. Okay, yeah, they all set us back, right? But it's the person, it's the human person that takes on those challenges. And really finds that super strength within, the strength of faith, the strength of hope, the strength of love. Because these are the weapons of choice. These are the weapons that in our lives change us. And I want to leave you with that reflection today. A lot of times we get stressed because we can't rise to the occasion. Lent is the time for us to really slow down, take an inward look, and find that, yeah, we do have that ability that is far beyond those of mortal men. Because we are empowered by the strength that comes to us from God, which is the faith, which is the hope and the love. You have that faith that can move mountains. You have the hope in brighter tomorrows. And you have the love which can overcome all kinds of evil and hatred. I leave you with these thoughts, okay? We had a fun time with Superman. Here's Susie to tell you about some fun stuff in our lives.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Hey, we had some fun today, didn't we? It was a different kind of Next Step. I enjoyed it. I hope you did. And, you know, we enjoy what we do over here. And I think that's the fun of the Next Step. And certainly by your prayers and your donations, the comments that you make, the encouragement that you give us, I know that this is a vital ministry that's out there. It is a way of really for us to think about the important things of life, the struggles that we have, and how to make them all work within the context and the parameters that have been given to us. And certainly, we feel like the apostle ministry is reaching out in ways that we didn't expect before, but it's certainly getting to a lot of people, and we thank you from the bottom of our heart for making us, giving us that superpower, so to speak, to be able to reach out. Yeah, this is the other side of the Clark Kent, right? We have the superpowers of technology, and that's all made possible thanks to you and your kind prayers and donations. So we really appreciate it, and I'm glad you are aboard. Listen, we are at the end of today's podcast. I want to invite you to get involved with us on Facebook, at our website. Do check out inhisshoes.org. A lot of stuff is happening. There's a lot of stuff that's coming up, and really we need you to engage in the website, because what we can't say over here always gets posted up there. There's all kinds of blogs. There is a Lenten series called The Lenten Journey into the Divine Liturgy. It is a 40-day series. We are at day number 18 or 19 today, and it's going to go through all the way to 40 days, and I know from the response we've been getting, it is well received. I hope you're enjoying it. It's different. Yeah, if you didn't like the Superman and the superheroes today, do check out our other stuff. And if this is the first time you're listening to us, don't give up on us. There's all kinds of good stuff over here. Hey, listen, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Vazgen, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off-balance top limits.